Hey, yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Look, man, I am back for episode 37 or 38. I can't remember. Look, y'all know how I am with numbers, man, especially if I don't, if I miss a week or two in between. Again, sorry about that, you guys. Again, like I said, one man wrecking crew over here. But nonetheless, man, your boy is still killing it, still cooking on all cylinders, still doing my thing, still coaching, still teaching, still preaching the gospel, man. Look, let me tell y'all something. There's nothing better than operating in the fullness of who God created you to be. I promise you, man. And each day that I'm blessed with, man, there's another step. Each day that I'm blessed with, I take it a little step further. Each day that I'm blessed with, I get to minister to somebody else, man. So, yo, it is a phenomenal journey right now. You know, there are good days and there are not so good days, but rest assured, man, God has provided them all. He stuck with me through them all. And man, it's going great over here, man. So I promise you, God is still God no matter what happens, man. I want to tell that to somebody. No matter what's happening in your life, God is still God no matter what. But anyway, man, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you for coming back for another episode. Thank you guys who are joining the Unchained Mindset Group. Thank you for you guys who are joining or sharing the Unchained Podcast. You know, showing your boy some love on Facebook. Man, thank you so much, because look, y'all know I'm not really on social media like that unless I'm posting something or doing something. But as I said last time, look, there is about to be the floodgates are about to open on social media, man, just because of everything I've been doing on the back end. I've had to make myself be a more structured person, because those of you who know me, I'm not a structured person, at least not in certain areas. I'm not. But anyway. If you guys want to support the podcast, as I say always, you can go to anchor.fm/unchained, and right there from the main page, you can select a monthly contribution, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99. It takes it out automatically every month. If not, look, man, no worries. Or you guys can use Cash App. That's $ no chains on me with the Z. That's Cash App. That's $ no chains on me with the Z. If you guys don't want to do, again, something a little more, here's my email. That is Keelan@nochainsonme.com, and that's chains with a Z. That's Keelan@nochainsonme.com, and that's chains with the Z. Yo, website is live, man. I love it. Put a lot of work in that, though. I think I told y'all that last time. Website is live. Clothing store is live. So all of you who are listening, I promise you there's going to be a ton of stuff on social media. So forgive me for flooding social media. I'm going to say that one more time, because it's about to get crucial. But anyway, thank you guys for joining me. I do want to say this. I'm a bit upset about football season, because look, let me tell you something. I played football for years, man. Favorite sport of all time, and football season has started. But I'm kind of upset because I'm not going to get to watch it as much as I used to. Not as much as I like. Look, I can't say that that's how I know I'm growing, because I'm prioritizing my time a little bit better, man. So praise God for that. However, it's just been a phenomenal journey, man. And I can't wait to share with you guys, man, some great news, personal news that's going on in my life, man. Just a fire testimony that God is doing right now. I can't let the cat out of the bag too soon, but God is doing some amazing things, man. And he's just doing a marvelous work in my life, man. And that's all I'm going to tell y'all right now, because I'm really chomping at the bits, man, to open it up. And I just don't want to open my big fat mouth right now. But anyway, man, thank you guys for tuning in. This particular podcast won't be long. I do want to tell you guys that this one came last minute. I thought I had another message on my heart. God was like, nah, man, I feel like some people need to hear this, because as I started to read this, man, maybe about an hour ago, and I know this is when the Lord is moving, man, because my heart gets heavy and I start bawling, because he's putting other people on my heart and on my mind. And so as I began to read this, man, I want to use this particular message to encourage somebody, because I think for those who are listening and the people that I'm coaching inside the Unchained Mindset Group, there's some people that are reaching out to me privately that are going through some stuff. And for me, man, it's always that's always hard as a coach and a mentor, and it's especially hard when you get to minister to, when you get to minister to a lot of people, and especially when God allows me to get in front of a crowd of people, he's enabled me to feel the energy in the room, or feel the energy with the person he's entrusted me to guide or mentor. For me, it's a indication that God is really allowing me to feel what he feels and see what he sees in people. And that's a powerful thing, man. And that's what the gospel is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you empathetic and sympathetic, man, for mankind. You're supposed to be able to see others the way God sees them and love them the way Christ loved them. And that's without selfish gain or motive. So, you know, with that being said, man, I do really want to open up this text because I really want to talk to some people, because I've gone through it, and at times I still go through it because I'm human, you know. And when you have something on your heart, or God wants to do something through you, he allows you to go through it so you can be more useful to the people he's called you to minister to. And part of this text, you know, I do want to use to explain the atmosphere in which Jesus is teaching, but I also want to use the story so that you can use it as a roadmap or a guide or something you can apply today. You know, and I believe if you apply this today, for those of you who have a goal, a dream, an aspiration, I promise you, I know God's going to use it in a very mighty way in your life. And I know somebody's listening right now, and things are hard. Things are so hard for you. Look, I feel it in my spirit, man. Things are so hard right now. You're discouraged. You feel beat down. This is a tough moment for you. And so I truly believe this is why God changed what he put on my heart. So those of you who are listening, I pray that this word does something miraculous in you. I pray for an automatic shift in your life. I pray that this gives you enlightenment, power, insight. I pray that this changes your heart, man, in the best possible way. Not that you're doing anything wrong, but when I say mind, I mean your belief about what's going on. Because sometimes the wrong perception shifts everything in our atmosphere. And I want to give you this so that you can change your perception, man. So this comes out of John chapter 6 and starting at verse 60. And this conversation, allow me to give you a little background before we start this. But this is a conversation that Jesus is giving after he had fed 5,000 people. He then, you know, walks on the lake, goes to the other side of the lake. And the disciples, you know, this is a big crowd of disciples. And these were all the people who will want to follow Jesus in addition to the 12. When I say disciples, I'm not talking about the 12. These are all the other ones that were following him in addition to the 12. Because if you remember, at some point, Jesus had, I think there were 72 disciples at one point, and Jesus sent them out to go and to teach and to heal, you know, and they were doing miracles in Christ's name. And, you know, he's still doing miracles. And like I said, he fed the 5,000. And after this was done, he's walking on water. And again, he gets in the boat with the 12 disciples who were trying to cross because they were looking for Jesus. And they end up at the other side of the lake. And then the next day, this crowd of people, they go searching for Jesus and the 12. And so Jesus kind of, you know, he calls them out, and he tells them, you know, like, you guys want to be with me only because I fed you. And so when he's telling people that, I want you guys who are listening to understand that there are some people right now who are in your circle because you're feeding them. There's something that you have that you're giving them, and they're only there for that reason. There are some circles that you're in. We all know that's the case with social media. You only got followers because, let's be honest, if you're not feeding them anything that's feeding their spirit, then they're looking at something else, and I'm gonna just leave it there, you know. But those who follow you on social media, they don't really know you, don't really follow you like that. And so when you begin to reveal who you really are, I promise you, at some point, you're going to lose some people. And I'm not saying reveal who you really are in a negative light, but when you really start to, profess and manifest what God has laid on your heart, the message he's given you to teach and preach, I promise you, there's going to be a shift in your circle. Because Jesus told them, look, you're only with me because I fed you. Not because you really understood what I was doing. See, what Jesus was trying to relate to all these people that were following him is that you guys should not be so fascinated with the miracle. You should be more fascinated with the understanding of how I did the miracle and the source from which the miracle came. Because see, a lot of times, most people will follow you for one specific reason. They will follow you because maybe you're famous. They will follow you because maybe you got money. They will follow you because maybe you look a certain way or you appear a certain way. But when they find out the source behind your success, a lot of times that changes how they view you. Because although you serve God, they may not want to serve God. So when you present to the masses that this is how you live and this is whom you serve, a lot of times you'll lose some people or you may not even gain the following. So there's something about operating in this way that causes conflict. Okay. Because the conflict was always between the people who were following Jesus and the miracles. Because again, they didn't understand why he did the miracles or why the miracles existed or where they came from. They just knew that they thought what he did was cool and they wanted him to keep doing them so that it could validate what they thought. So they were asking Jesus to perform these miracles, not because they believed in who he was, but they needed confirmation that he was who he said he was. This was Jesus' frustration because he's like, look, you guys just saw me do this. Why do I have to keep performing for your affection? And some of you in life, you keep performing for affection only to find yourselves by yourself. You keep performing for affection only to realize that the person is not really there for you, but they're only there for what you could do for them. Right? And so we haven't even gotten into the text, but this is the conversation that Jesus is having. And then Jesus is making it plain that, look, if you guys believe in me, then you must accept me as I am. Accept me as the bread of life. Accept me as the one who came down from heaven. Accept me as the one whom you keep denying. I keep telling you that I'm Christ, the Messiah. I keep telling you I come from the Father. You don't believe me. So the only way to get eternal life, what I'm saying, is that you must believe what I say in order to spend eternity with me. And I hope I didn't mess that up, but this was Jesus' point. He keeps trying to explain to them that you must accept what I say. You must take it upon faith without me showing you anything. Because the other lesson in what Jesus is teaching is that as long as your mind is fixated on the visual thing, then you won't really believe me. You will believe more in the miracle than the one who provided the miracle. You will believe more in the job than the source of which the job came. He's trying to say, stop putting so much stock in what you see. This was his frustration. Stop putting so much stock in this tangible stuff. So when you continue to put all this stock and all your feelings and emotions into this tangible thing, the tangible things of life, what happens is that when you lose those things, sometimes your mind and your peace goes with it. Your mind and your peace goes with it. Why do you continue to put so much stock in that? Why? What's the purpose? What's the point? I'm the source of it all. So then Jesus continues to have this crazy conversation talking about he's the bread of life. Continues to have this crazy conversation about him being about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And unless you do that, you can't have eternal life. You cannot be with me if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is a crazy conversation that most people don't want to hear on a Sunday morning. So the story picks up. I said all that to pick the story up in John chapter 6 verse 60. And I would recommend that you guys read this on your own so you can get a clear understanding of what is going on, what the atmosphere is like, and what Jesus is trying to say here. I just kind of gave you like an overlay. But I want to pick up in verse 60 where it says, many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think when you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me." For Jesus knew from the very beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, "That is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me." So we're seeing Jesus standing firm on his word for a ton of verses here. I mean, he is laying it on in regards to, guys, you are so fixated on miracles. You're so fixated on, let's put it in this context, you're so fixated on money and cars and the house and the new job. You getting those things, that does not, look, you getting those things, that's not the miracle. That's not the miracle. Jesus is saying how they appeared is the miracle. Right. So he keeps hammering this in. And the reason why I'm using this particular thing is that I want you to see that Jesus does not back down from what he's saying. He does not back down from the message. He doesn't back down from the foundation of what he's stating. He doesn't back down. He doesn't back down in any regard, in any way, shape or form, because he's not going to be manipulated, pushed or poked into a different idea. He's not going to soften the message. He didn't change what he said. He didn't change what he believed. He didn't change who he was. He says, look, guys, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to do the work of God, you first and foremost, you must believe. You must believe me. You must believe in me. That is the prerequisite. That is the foundation. That is the requirement. That is the key to unlock this door. Without that, you don't get in. He never moved or backed down from what he was saying. He never moved. So then he says, look, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Are you offended that I am being open and honest about what it is? And are you being offended about who I am? It wasn't even necessarily about what it is that he was asking. It was more so, are you offended about what I just said about who I am? And they said, this is very hard to accept. I don't know if I can believe you. And so with saying that, I want you guys to think about this title, and that is Abandon in Obscurity. Abandon in Obscurity. Because if you read chapter 7, Jesus has not, according to his brothers, he's not famous yet. Quote, famous, end quote. He's not famous yet. Because they were asking him to come to Jerusalem. And they said, Jesus, how can you become famous if you don't show off your miracles? If you don't go and perform for these people, you're never going to be famous. They're never going to take you serious. Like if you don't start performing for these people, they're not going to believe in you. And this is the crazy thing. And I want to talk to somebody, because right now I really and truly believe that you're struggling because you're in obscurity. And obscurity means you're not recognized right now. Like you don't really have a status. You don't really have a name. Nobody's clicking your stuff. Nobody's sharing your stuff. And you feel like you're beating your head against the wall, and you're perceiving it as, this is not working. You're perceiving it as, this is not powerful. It's not having its way. Nothing's changing. Your perception is off. I just want to tell you that your perception is off. And I want us to take note from Jesus that his confidence never swayed. It never swayed. Because we see Jesus, who never changed his story. He never changed who he was. He never changed his message. He never changed to fit in, and he never changed to be liked. He hung around people who were rejected by society. He talked to people who were rejected by society. He touched people who were called unclean. He healed on days where you weren't supposed to heal. He was healing on the Sabbath. He went against culture. He went against what people said was cool or was not cool. He was his own man. He was his own God. He did his own thing. But he didn't do it to be mean or to demean anybody. He did it because he wanted to show people the truth. He did it because the truth is what was healing people. See, when you become your own, see, you go against religion. You go against the naysayers. You go against the things that people say that you can't do. You go against you go against the opinions when people say that you're not good enough. When people say that you'll never make it. When they say nobody qualified you to do that. Like, what kind of qualifications you got? Because there are some people who want to see certain documents and papers. And according to the rest of the world, they say this is what you need. To really and truly be you, they say this is what you need. But today I'm talking to a person who God has really been pushing you to change. He's really been pushing you to step out on faith. And when I say change, I'm not talking about your sinning, but I'm saying change your perspective. And stop leaning on what man says about you. And stop leaning on what others are thinking about you. Stop leaning on the complaints. Because I can tell you from personal experience, when I first started my business, I started doing a lot of changing because it was what people wanted. Not changing in a spiritual sense, but I would lower my prices, or I would change my schedule, or I would take on clients when I really didn't want to. And it wasn't really for them to like me, but I was kind of selling myself short in order to gain business. And after a while, I found myself burned out. I found myself tired. I found myself tired of swinging. I found myself tired of doing this business because it no longer became a business. It no longer became fun. It then became a job. And I just want to tell you that if you're out there and you're doing what you're doing to please other people or to become what someone else wants, you're no longer yourself. You're a slave at that point. It's almost like prostitution. You do whatever to feel liked, feel loved, feel accepted, to feel worthy in some sense. So when you're a person who deals with the thought that you're not enough or that you can't make it happen, or you're afraid that your business won't take off, or your ministry won't take off, or your ideas are no good, you end up becoming a prostitute because you're afraid that all your stuff will fail. So you take whatever you get just to feel like loved and accepted in some way. But I'm just asking you just to kind of lean on Jesus' lead, because he didn't shift for the masses. He didn't lose himself in order to be liked. Even when he said he wasn't going to Jerusalem because people were plotting to kill him, he still went. And against all odds, he still stood up in front of the crowd of people and told the truth. He presented himself as God's image no matter what the situation or circumstance was. He did it no matter what. And so for somebody out there today, I'm just trying to encourage you, man, to keep going no matter what. I don't know what God has put in your heart. I don't know what he's put in your spirit, but keep going no matter what. Don't let the opinions blindside you. Don't let other people's thoughts, don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you. You know, I told one of my clients yesterday, I was like, look, people use you for what they can get. They will. They will. They'll take whatever they can get. They'll use you. They'll take it, make you feel good for a moment. But the moment they get tired of using you, they're done. And in that whole transition, you lost yourself. You lost your dignity. You lost your pride. You lost your morals. You took down your guardrails. And I'm trying to tell y'all, don't shift with the outside circumstances. Don't do that. You can compare it to a boat on a lake. And a boat moves as long as the motor's going. And as long as the waves are pushing. But the moment the anchor drops, it stays where it is. The outside elements are still moving. People are still talking. They're still talking about you. They're still pointing fingers. But your mind must be like the anchor. It must be steadfast. And it must be anchored in the Word of God. Anchored on your belief. It must stay grounded. It cannot be tainted or persuaded or flipped upside down because you get emotional because of what people are saying, because of what they're doing, because of how they're talking about you. Let me tell you something. People talk about you when you do something great. When you're doing something great, people talk about you. They'll do whatever to tear you down. They'll do whatever to make you appear like a madman or like you're crazy. Like you have no clue what you're talking about or what you're doing. Jesus says plainly that, look, if they hated me, for sure they're gonna hate you. You're not going to get off the hook easy if I didn't. Because when people fear what they can't understand, it often comes with accusation, often comes with hurling assaults, comes with a little shaking of your foundation. But you still can't move. Yeah, people will try to verbally murder you, but don't move. People, look, I promise you, and I don't know why I keep hammering this down, but as I read this story, my heart got so heavy because I couldn't imagine that all the people who you thought were in your corner, the moment you told them, look, I'm not changing for y'all, they all left. They all left. Jesus had to ask them. He had to turn around and ask his 12, are you also going to leave? Because this is who I am, guys. And I'm not changing for nobody. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what facts they think they have to prove me wrong. I'm not changing for nobody. So if you're with me, then be with me. If you're here, be here. Are you also going to leave? Are you also going to leave? Do you want to crucify me with the rest of them? Do you want to talk about me like the rest of them? Are you going to murmur and complain behind my back thinking that I don't hear you? And for some of you out there, I promise you, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I'm just telling you to stay strong. I'm just telling you to stay, look, hey, stay steadfast. Don't let your mind move with it. Don't be changed to alter by any of it. I promise you, God will vindicate you. He's going to come and he's going to fight on your behalf. You just got to stay faithful. You got to believe in what you can't see more than what you can. And I know it doesn't look like it right now. I know your money's funny. I know the bills are piling up. I know things aren't changing. But God just said, look, just stay fixed on me. Stay fixed on me. Keep your eyes where they need to be. Don't look at what the outside world is doing. Don't worry about the circumstances right now. I just need you to stay focused on me. Stay focused on the dream. Stay focused on the cause. Stay focused on the mission. Don't change it. Don't move it for nobody. I promise you, if you take that bid for that money, if you switch up because you want to change for that girl, if you want to switch up because you want to change for that guy, do not flush everything we work for down the toilet because you're lonely. Don't do that. Don't throw yourself away because you need the money. Don't Don't break down what we built because you got to get a little bit further ahead. Just be patient. I promise I got you. I got you. Just stay here. Just stay with me. I promise you, this will pass. This will pass. Because look, I don't give you the reward for jumping ship. I give you the reward for patience, for endurance, for not moving because the world said so, for not moving just because your circumstances did. That is what I reward. For you holding on to the faith no matter what happened. Because life is going to try you. The storms are going to come. The rain is going to come. The hurricanes are going to come. The floods are going to come against you. I promise you they will. But I just need you to stay anchored. I need to know that I can trust you. So if you listen today, if this is you, I feel you. I promise. I do. I do. I've been in it. I've experienced it. Your eyes must stay fixed. They must stay fixed on God. They must stay fixed on Christ, no matter what. So I'm just encouraging you today, whoever you are, maybe it's a group of you, maybe it's one of you. I don't know, maybe you know somebody that needs to hear this, but don't you quit. Don't throw in the towel. I know the outside looks ugly. Somebody just came to my heart. I know the outside looks ugly. And you can't comprehend what's going on. And you don't know what's changing and you don't know what's shifting. But God says, look, just stay focused on me. Just stay focused on me. Don't leave. Don't leave. If you do, you got to start over. Don't leave. Just stay here, stay grounded. And whoever you are, I promise, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, and I love you. Thank you for tuning in. I'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.